Jacksonville, Florida. It's a place where you often walk at your own risk. Our city has been ranked one of the most dangerous in the nation for pedestrians. And guess what? Orlando, Tampa, and Miami are the top three on the list of deadly cities for walkers, with a shockingly high number of pedestrian deaths and hit-and-run accidents. Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to First Coast Connect. I'm Melissa Ross, and this morning we take a closer look at Florida's deadly hit-and-run car culture, which includes Jacksonville. We're discussing this today with Blaine McCarthy, a personal injury lawyer and founder of the Jacksonville Christian Lawyer Directory. Blaine, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And the phone lines are open as we discuss this. The number to call is 549-2937, 549-2937, or send us an email to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. And I referenced a new study. This came out in November of 2009, a couple of months ago, a study by the nonprofit group Transportation for America in Washington, D.C. And they studied traffic statistics and found that the four most dangerous cities for pedestrians are all in Florida: Orlando, Tampa, Miami, and Jacksonville. Jacksonville, the fourth deadliest city in the country if you are a pedestrian.
It's a scary thing, isn't it?
It's very upsetting. They go on to explain the reasons why. The culprit in all of these cities here in Florida is sprawl and not enough planning for pedestrian-friendly corridors like sidewalks and bike paths, and also not enough public transit. So we know the reasons why this is happening. But what we didn't realize until this study came out was just how highly ranked Jacksonville is in terms of the risk for pedestrians.
Indeed, you know, and the risk transcends not just pedestrians, and we'll talk a little later on about car versus car. Hit and run is sadly a bad phenomenon that's widespread, especially apparently in our city.
Yeah, we definitely have an issue with that as well. Hit and run accidents are factored into this ranking.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So knowing this, it's dismaying, and you see this all the time in your practice. This is not news to you.
No, it isn't. It isn't. And that's why I was grateful that you allowed me to come on to share, because I have, in my 12 years of doing this, come across similar scenarios too often. And the people that have been seeking my help have been ignorant as to what they do and don't have in terms of options and coverage. And my hope is during the next 15 minutes, mm-hmm. we can maybe educate our listeners as to what you have in your policy and whether it may or may not be helpful to you if you're involved in a crash like this.
Well, most people think they are covered, but maybe they're not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Often I get the call from someone who, when I ask about insurance questions, they say, well, don't worry about that. I've got full coverage. And a closer look reveals that they have far from full coverage.
So if you have comprehensive coverage on your auto insurance policy, that doesn't cover you?
Comprehensive really wouldn't in this scenario. Let me tell you what people, when they say full coverage, what they usually mean, not knowing what they mean, is that they've got what the law requires. The law, Melissa, requires very little, as it turns out. There's two mandatory types of auto coverage. And now, again, we're speaking to auto coverage and how it would apply to you if you're a person in a car involved in a hit and run or hit by an uninsured driver who sticks around. The law requires personal injury protection coverage and property damage liability coverage, and that's all. And a lot of people walk around thinking they've got full coverage, and really they just have this. Now, personal injury protection coverage, it's also called no-fault coverage. It's a type of partial medical coverage, partial disability coverage for someone who has to go to the doctor and miss some work because of a car crash. Even if they were not the one at fault, they have a partial reimbursement to this coverage. And the other one that I mentioned, the property damage liability, like any other liability coverage, it really pays for damage done to somebody else. So in this scenario, if you were the one who caused a crash and you damaged somebody else's car, that fund pays for fixing the other guy's car. It doesn't do a darn thing about fixing your own.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the full coverage, so to speak, that a lot of people walk around thinking they have. And if you're involved in a crash with a hit and run or someone without insurance, you soon find out that really provides you very little remedy.
And in terms of hit and runs, there have been a few high-profile hit and run accidents right here in town in recent months. The five-year-old girl,
yes,
who was, it wasn't a hit and run, but she was struck and killed by a car at a crosswalk in on San Jose Boulevard as she was crossing with her family.
Yes.
The nurse outside of Shands was hit by a car that police were pursuing. And that case is under internal review with the JSO right now. So as you deal with the insurance aspects of this, culturally, and according to this study, when you look at the numbers from this study, it seems as though there are hit and run accidents happening all across this city every moment of the day. I don't think it's that bad, but we definitely have a problem.
We do, and you mentioned some very notable recent, well publicized scenarios, which are, examples of what happens often below the radar. A lot of people don't realize how prevalent hit and run scenarios are, both to pedestrians and to other vehicles. And like I said, lately we've gotten a few that have made the front page and been talked about in various news media. But there's so many others that just don't get covered.
And if you're just joining First Coast Connect, we're discussing a new study finding that Jacksonville is the fourth most deadly city in the country for pedestrians. And in fact, the top three cities, the most dangerous metropolitan areas for pedestrians, are all in Florida. Orlando, Tampa, and Miami are 1, 2, and 3. Jacksonville, number 4. The phone lines are open, so give us a call at 549-2937 if you have an experience to relate with this. So 490 pedestrians, according to this new study by the nonprofit Transportation for America, 490 pedestrians killed by cars in Florida last year, the most of any state. South Florida has a bigger problem than we do, but we have a problem. So you were talking a minute ago about how that people need to review their coverage. Because statistically, you may think this may not happen to you, but the statistics say otherwise, that there is a chance this could happen.
Exactly.
To you in Jacksonville.
Yes, and from a statistical standpoint, the chance is even greater if you're in a vehicle than if you're a pedestrian. And again, that's one of those stats that you don't know about because it doesn't typically make the news. But car versus car crashes where the faulty driver takes off is a very frequent scenario. So that's why, again, looking at your car insurance is wise to do now before, and hopefully, you never get in that
situation.
So
what's the optimal coverage to have?
Well, the things that you want to be aware of, and admittedly, they cost extra. The full coverage that I mentioned earlier is really the bare bones minimum. It's going to be the least expensive. So these things.
And that's what so many of us have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And often for the economic reasons. Mm-hmm. What do I need so I can get my car licensed? And that's what you walk out the office with. But some other types of coverage that would apply and help you in that scenario. First, let's focus on the car. Let's say you're involved in this crash. The other driver takes off. You're not to blame. You got a crumpled up car. What are you going to do with that? The property damage coverage that I talked about earlier doesn't apply to fix your own car. What would apply in that scenario would be collision coverage. You mentioned comprehensive, which involves damage to vehicles other than through crashes. Collision coverage would be what applied if it's actually hit and run crash. Usually that comes at a deductible. Most people, when they purchase that, purchase a $500 deductible, meaning they pay the first $500 themselves, and then the insurance company picks up the rest of the tab. So you can make it more economical by adding deductibles, but that's the coverage that would help to fix your car when the other driver who's at fault is nowhere to be found. Another thing that happens in that scenario, when a person's car is in the shop, they need a ride for a week or 10 days or however long it takes. Another optional coverage that's available on your policy would be rental car reimbursement.
Sure.
And some folks have that and know about that. Most don't, though. Most would, in that scenario, without coverage, they're either not getting to work and they're losing a paycheck, or they're borrowing money from, or borrowing a car from somebody, or taking the bus, which kind of, as you alluded to earlier, is not quite the best system yet in terms of getting people exactly to where they need to
go. Because as this study points out, one of the reasons we have this issue is because in Florida, public transit is not what it should be.
Right.
549-2937, as we discuss this new study ranking Jacksonville one of the deadliest cities in the country for both pedestrians and for hit-and-run accidents. Marty in St. Augustine, you're on the air. Hi, Marty.
Great show, as always. A very interesting topic. I was 20 years as a policeman in New York City. I know about what you're talking about, and I'm going to say that in this situation, you're blaming, and I'm not saying you, but the study is blaming the city, blaming the victim, as I call it, instead of the bad guys. A lot of hit and runs, people are drunk driving. We have the phenomenon last 10, 15 years, people talking on the cell phones and driving. Jacksonville is starting to put up these red light cameras. That's nonsense, because it's not going to stop people from talking on the cell phones. I've seen people smoking pot and driving in this area, St. Augustine. So what do we do about that? I don't know. Maybe we need different types of enforcement, more motorcycle patrol or whatever. But don't be blaming the city in terms of sprawl, sidewalks or whatever. It's not going to make people do the right thing. And I've said for years, since I've been in Florida, Florida seems to be a punishment state rather than a law and order state. They have people screw up so that they could put them on probation or whatever. I don't know what the answer is, but I'm still saying don't blame the victim. It's the bad guys that are doing the stuff wrong. I've been hit by a drunk driver once. Thankfully, he was caught by the St. John's Sheriff Office. But you got to go out there and stop people. They have to make a law that you can't talk on a cell phone while driving in Florida. New York has it. And I think you just have to be creative in terms of catching the bad guys.
Marty, thanks as always. Great comments by Marty, who is a regular listener. Now, what the study analyzes how cities lay out their pedestrian-friendly corridors, and that's how they came up in part with this ranking. But he makes a good point about cell phones. That is definitely a factor in this.
Clearly, you know, we're a society that's a now society and a multitasking society, and we want to, you know, squeeze as much into that 5-minute commute as we can, and if we can talk and make an arrangement while we're driving. But as Marty pointed out, that also, you know, leaves people less attentive. Even the hands-free cell phone studies have shown that that's really marginally, if at all, safer than when you're holding up against your ear. You still have your mind and your attention partially diverted to what you're speaking and hearing versus the roadway in front of you and this pedestrian that's about to step off the sidewalk.
And here in Florida, we haven't done what other states, as he pointed out, have started to do, which is just ban the use of cell phones completely if you're behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how much in the cases that you see, how much is that playing a role in some of these accidents? If someone's texting while they're driving or talking while they're driving?
Yeah, probably more than I realized. I mean, to be candid with you, if the injury case gets to the point where we're actually in a lawsuit and we're getting formal discovery, that's now becoming a more standard initial request, is give me your cell phone records for the month of the crash. Let me see if there's a call that's being made about the time of the crash other than the 911 call after the crash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and often you can discover that, hey, there's, you know, somebody was texting 3 seconds before this reported crash. Was there a correlation?
If you're just joining First Coast Connect, we're discussing a new study ranking Jacksonville one of the most dangerous cities in the country for pedestrians. All of the top cities for pedestrian deaths and hit-and-run accidents are in Florida. The number to call, 549-2937. And we need to point out, it's not all bad. According to the article in Time, Florida's DOT is now really getting serious about sidewalk construction, especially in school zones. We've lagged behind other states in that regard. But the connection has been made at that government agency's mm-hmm. level. And another reason for that is that many school districts in Florida have had to cut back on bus service so more kids are walking to school. So they've got to have safe crosswalks, safe sidewalks. So that is something I just wanted to note that is a positive in all of this.
Sure.
It's not all bad. There's recognition that we need to do something here in Florida. And the phone lines are lighting up as we talk to Blaine McCarthy, personal injury lawyer, who's been giving us some great information about the coverage that you really need in a state like Florida. It's very educational because until this study came out, I was not aware that the level that I personally have, for example, for my own automobile,
right,
probably isn't enough.
Mm.
Let's go to Joe in Bartram Springs. Joe, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling in to comment on the speed limits in our neighborhood and on our roads. I believe that they're set too high, and I think 30 miles per hour in a residential neighborhood is just way too fast. And particularly over on San Jose, there is between 295 and down toward State Road 13, the speed limit is 45 miles an hour. But then, you know, you have all these businesses, and it's just too high.
Joe, thanks for the call. Great point.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of factors kind of coming together at once.
Sure.
And that's one of them that's contributing to this problem.
I agree. You know, and yeah. and people would have maybe have differing views on that topic, but that's I'm sure that's a debate, a frequently debated issue, you yeah. know, within the circles that regulate that stuff is what's the appropriate speed limit for this neighborhood or for this corridor that feeds this neighborhood? When do you reduce it? Mm-hmm. Very good points.
Dave in downtown Jacksonville. You're on the air, Dave. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Thanks.
I just wanted to comment about the cell phone usage.
Uh-huh.
While driving, I'm actually driving on the phone right now.
Dave.
We get a lot of callers who do that.
I'm an over-the-road traveling salesman, and I spend, I don't even know how many phone calls I make while I'm driving. And I have pretty much an impeccable driving record. I think that the cell phone usage may be a little bit of an excuse for people that just don't pay attention.
Dave, thanks for the call. Obviously, he's a careful guy. The states that have banned cell phone usage while driving, and especially texting, if you're caught texting behind the wheel, you could get a fine.
Yeah.
They make the argument that it's just too distracting.
Right.
Charles on the west side. Charles, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, earlier you were talking about insurance coverage, and I think that the most important insurance coverage people ought to be talking about is the uninsured motorist coverage, which I carry $1 million of. Apparently, I had found out in the past that in order to raise my PIP level, I had to have uninsured motorist coverage to match. And so anyway, I got $1 million of uninsured motorist coverage just for that reason alone.
Charles, great point. Blaine McCarthy, let's talk about that for a minute.
Charles, thank you. That's a perfect segue. When I addressed the coverage issues a moment ago, I had begun by focusing just on the damage to your vehicle, but you're right in that the bigger loss potential is the damage to the person, the damage to yourself. And the PIP coverage, by definition, I mentioned, Melissa, it's a partial. It pays only 80% of your medical bills. And if you're off work, it pays 60% of your wage losses up to the limit, which is typically $10,000. That's the standard. So what was mentioned by this last caller is one of the two additional types of coverages I was going to recommend. Let me start by not talking about uninsured motorists, but talking about medical payments coverage. That is an additional, like a health insurance rider, if you will, and it's the design of that is to pick up the part that PIP doesn't pay, and then any other medical expenses you have related to a crash up to whatever limit you determine. You have a lot more flexibility on the medical payments coverage. You can set it to be $5,000, which is common, but you could set it to be $50,000. In fact, that's kind of what I have in my policy. And that provides you pretty much 100% doctor payments, you know, for a crash, regardless of its fault. But, sorry, the other comment, what the caller had mentioned was uninsured motorist liability coverage. And what that type of coverage is, obviously the name indicates it's relevance when you're involved in a crash with somebody who doesn't have insurance, which often is the hit-and-run driver. The law presumes that person has no coverage because you don't know what coverage they have or who they even are. So in that scenario, or if you get hit by someone who sticks around and they've got this full coverage, which is lousy coverage, then your uninsured motorist coverage would pick up if you have that policy. And what that does is that essentially provides insurance to the other guy who would owe you if they have caused you losses. And that would include medical expenses. That would include wage losses. And it would also include the intangible stuff. If you have a permanent injury under Florida law, you get to recover for how your quality of life has been impacted, pain and suffering and things like that. An uninsured motorist is a great and I think almost essential type of coverage that folks should have on their policy.
Especially in Florida, which, as we've just been discussing, is the most dangerous state to be in.
Yes.
In terms of car-on-car accidents and pedestrian accidents. According to the new study from the nonprofit Transportation for America, Jacksonville, the fourth-ranked city on the list. So thanks to everyone who called in. I'm sorry we couldn't get to all of the calls. And thank you, Attorney Blaine McCarthy. Great information.
My pleasure. Thank you for allowing me to share it.